welcome to Talking Walking, hosted by Andrew Stuck from Rethinking Cities in London. Talking Walking brings you interviews with people from the world of walking, artists, activists, professionals, and those of us who have a passion for just taking a walk. Laura Jennings, a singer and performer, talks about how she has incorporated walking into her practice through the development of audio walks, in which she creates characters that prompt interaction from participants with the environment through which they walk. Her walking art practice began when studying at London's Central School of Speech and Drama, and the interview opens with Laura explaining her work.
I began looking at walking as I was interested in liminality and the space in between. So then I was looking at the fact that a walker is never in one space at a time, they're always in this in-between space. From that, I developed my practice as a director and facilitator of audio walks. And then I was looking at the process of space, so space as production, taken really from Henri Lefebvre's ideas and Michel de Certeau. And then I was looking at how I could maybe get a participant to reimagine space by uncovering process. That was my aim.
Let's wind back a bit.
Okay.
What brought you to do a master's?
Yes, I did performing arts. I was actually a performer. I did some, it was more collaborative devised theatre, really. I did contemporary theatre. And when I left university, after doing that, I did start to do some, I had a small theatre company that I worked with at the time, and we did some scratch-based work. But then it kind of dismantled, and I decided that I was going to do my master's because I was still interested in space, in performance. And yes, that's how it came about. So before that, really, I was a performer, and then now I've kind of moved into more areas of directing and facilitating, which is actually quite nice.
You mentioned liminality and the space in between. Now, people who listen to this might not understand what those concepts are.
The term liminality comes from anthropology. An anthropologist named Victor Turner is quite a famous anthropologist, and really it was to do with his investigation into ritual practices and boys, how they go from being boys to men. And there's a stage in between being the boys to men, which is classed as the liminal space, which is really a space in between. So you're neither the boy or the man. And it's been a term that's been taken into performance, and it's used a lot in, I suppose, installation art and site-specific art. And art really where you can be both, where you feel like you might be both inside and outside. So it's a lot to do with movement. So for instance, in, say, digital art, where stuff's projected, you're seeing, say, like this space, but you're in another space. So you're kind of in this in-between. And they say in this space, because it's a space of fluidity, that you can form your own sense of what this thing, I suppose, that's been created is. So really, for me, I was using it as a space of, I suppose, reflection, so that participants, if they were, say, moving and they weren't in one place or another, then they could form their own sense of what something was. But it has been used by some artists, I suppose, in different ways, and there has been some criticism in, obviously, various areas about it, but I think it applies quite well to walking.
With the performance work you did, that was as an actor, or were you in movement? Were you like a dancer, or...?
I started off as actually a singer. I had training for about 8 years in classical music and in musical theatre. So at first I thought I wanted to go into singing, but then I found an interest in contemporary theatre. And I suppose in contemporary theatre, I suppose you're kind of a bit of everything. It's kind of a weird scenario. I suppose I did mostly, I suppose, performing, acting as such. But then movement does come into it a lot, because you do a lot of, well, it's quite physical, and did still carry on singing.
Try to walk me through to the process where the audio walks then began to develop.
Okay. The research and the development of the audio walk began from something that I'd done previously, which was in digital performance. I was really interested in the way performance, if I could put someone in this liminal space, and then what that would do. So that's kind of how it began. And I tried out some various tests. So I did some digital performance. So I tried some installations. I worked with another performer, and we did some stuff in a space. And then I actually found that from doing some research into other performers, because we were looking at other performers, so I was looking at, say, Blast Theory, some other rights and sights, those sort of people, I began looking at walking and movement through space. So I set out myself to discover space. So I do this through a series of what I like to call mapping. So I go out and do films and take photos and do some like textured recordings of the space and just kind of walk and then find different spaces that I think would be quite interesting. And then somewhere where spaces collide or you feel like you're moving from one space and then into a different space, which is probably completely at the other end of a scale. So sometimes I would find what I would maybe class as play spaces, so like free spaces, social spaces, and then they'd move into something that was like really industrial or very commercial, and you kind of get these weird, like almost collisions or juxtapositions between these spaces. And they were the moments that I quite liked, if I could maybe form something where someone moved from through these different spaces. So working with that, I then worked with a few participants and I did very basic walking. So I'd literally give them a few instructions on literally a piece of paper and they would just move through the space, and I'd give them a series of things to record their experiences with. So a camera or a dictaphone or a video camera, and then they would record and then they'd feed back to me about what they felt about these spaces. So it's kind of to get different perspectives, because obviously it's easy enough for me to get my perspective, but it's quite nice to have different perspectives. This developed further, and then I began my first walk experiment was actually with, it was quite similar, I had instructions on a piece of paper and I had walkers go to the place that I'd given them, and they had a camera, a stills camera, and a dictaphone, and they had to take, I think it was 10 pictures of the space, yeah, 10 pictures of the space, and then they had to record for 10 minutes on the dictaphone. But before they recorded, they'd listen to the person's recording that had been before them. So they'd spend 10 minutes listening and moving, and then they would then listen and move. And in that way, I was working with the presence of this person that had been before and their perception of this space when they had been moving through it, and then hoping that these people would then reflect back on themselves in experiencing where someone else had been. So they could see things that someone else might be seeing, or maybe noticing something else, or it might not be there anymore. So that's kind of what I worked with there. It was a very simple experiment.
Can I ask, when the people were listening to the previous person in that space, was that something you'd given the iPod to listen to, or was it something they found the recording in the space?
No, I'd given them to it. Okay. Given them it before.
And did you give them an instruction that they shouldn't listen to it until they got to the space?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah. So everything was instructed that they, and then they had to record, but they weren't allowed to say stop the recording. So they had to record for 10 minutes in a block, because I wanted them to be moving rather than it be, they would move a bit, stop, move a bit. So they would be moving and recording. So obviously some people might not have been in the space because it was quite a large space I used. Then that wasn't an audio walk at all. I then started to try out different walks and experiments using the new space that was around the Swiss Cottage area, Finchley Road area. And I tried out various different things. So I tried out actually doing some writings and getting people to write like experiences in space. So a bit participant observer, so they were both part of this space and observing what's happening in this space. And I also tried some very simple audio walks that were just guided, really simple instructions. I found that people, this is obviously natural, like some people want to go faster than I'm telling them to go, or some people are like, no, I wanted to stop at that moment. I wanted to create something that was more, I suppose, ambiguous a little bit. So I kind of looked a little bit at the history of the space, as well as using my mappings and textures and sounds. The history didn't really play a big role in the actual walk at the end, but it kind of helped develop my process, because basically I was researching the space around Swiss Cottage and Finchley Road, and I found a poem that was based on the Finchley Road, and I kind of used that in one of the walks alongside instructions. And some of the participants that I tried it on said to me that they really found it really intriguing to hear this poem in the space, because it kind of formed this imaginary landscape for them. So this really interested me, because I obviously, like I said before, I was interested in kind of uncovering the traces of the space to see how that may change how someone looks at the space. So then I became interested in maybe I could form narratives that were poetic in some form that may pose questions about what the participants are seeing. So I tried out different poetic forms. So I wrote these poems that now, hearing them back, are quite awful. But I tried these poems on participants, and I found that in the walks, people reacted to these quite well. I should briefly explain now, not the end of the walking process, but like I had in my other walk where people spoke. This was a big part of the walk for me, and the biggest part of my audio walk, which is called Where I Once. Basically, participants in each of my walks had a point where they would listen, and then it was kind of like their turn as such. I found like the language allowed people to reflect more than imagery. So I worked mainly with people speaking. And in the imaginary walk, one of the first ones where I used the poetry, I got these really strange selection of recordings back from all my participants that were like, they were just, Finchley Road is really boring road. And all of a sudden, like these participants, like seeing, they're like turning it into like a river and seeing these fish. And I don't know, it was mad. And that's kind of the area that I wanted to go down, was actually getting people to really reimagine this space for themselves and then kind of see it how they wanted. So from there, I decided that I was going to create kind of characters, narratives that would form from the space. So for that, really, I went out and I watched people for quite a long time. Just watched people moving around this space, kind of who occupied this space. And I found that I actually noticed the people that came back to this space quite a lot, because I'd go most days and there would be the same people in the same spaces. So from this, I formed kind of two characters as such. I formed a male character and a female character, but I had four sections to the walk that also corresponded with the kind of four different spaces that the walker would move through. I've had these characters that would occupy the spaces as such. So the first space was really occupied by this female character. In this space, she'd speak from the first person. Her like views of the space would be much more reflective and kind of probably a bit more story, poetic based. And then in that section, he would speak about her. His were more directive. So he would say things like, she leaves, she stops, she waits, to direct the participant, hopefully. It did seem to work. And then in the third section, because the second section is a bit more complicated, but in the third section, it's a similar scenario. So that would be the space he occupied, and she would talk about him, and he would talk about this space. Near Swiss Cottage, there's a courtyard area, which is the big play space, and it's got a big pool in it, and it's just square. And I wanted in this space to participants to have come into this space, move around this space, leave this space, and then come back to it. So section two was them occupying this space and moving through it. And in this space, they hear some of the narratives of these two characters, but they also hear some documentation that other participants have made. In the final section, when the participants come back, it sounds very complicated, but basically in the fourth section, the last section, participants brought back to this space and edit this into that section of the walk. So section two would then constantly change.
Yeah, brilliant.
Every walker had a different experience of that section. You've got new voices and new people coming in, and there's new layers, new textures.
And did you find that participants had started to develop a relationship with the male and female characters?
Yes, well, sometimes you'd get really... I'd get some feedback from participants saying that they... At first, they listened to them, and they were following them, and they wanted to find out what was happening, and they wanted to take the roots. And then after a while, I think... Really, after they'd kind of heard almost real people, that sounds stupid, because obviously my stories were written, they were text, they were poetic, and then you heard what they were saying were the real people's reflections of this space. I think people kind of became a bit more, I suppose, liberated and a bit more like, I might not follow. Well, I've got a lot of people saying, I'm just going to stand here and stuff. But that is kind of what I wanted. I wanted this, the element of choice, so that they could make the decision to move where they wanted or how they wanted, but these stories would become the stories kind of for them about this space.
What text that you've read in your research or whatever, or people you've spoken to that might have, you know, influenced you in the way you've developed this
audio? walk. My work really began from Henri Lefebvre's production of space. Space as a product, really. And he says that for us to reclaim space as lived, we should reveal its process. And so that was really how my questioning came about. It was about revealing the process of the space and the process of the work to show that the work that's being produced in this space is part of the same process. So that's why I wanted something that was constantly being altered. So like the walks were actually edited. I was editing them as the stuff was coming in.
Have you published this output? Or, I mean, you know, is it only just the participants that have experienced
it? Yes, it's only the participants at the moment. But yes, I am looking to develop it. Obviously, it was based in a specific area. I'm hoping to maybe look to develop something that's more, I don't know, transferable, like more...
In the sort of idea of the whole sort of genre of audio walks, mm-hmm. you know, if there is a genre,
yes.
Have you come across other audio walks that you like the actual content or perhaps the process by which these people had developed these audio walks? Are there any that you'd like to sort of recommend? Or
yes, there was one that one that I particularly enjoyed. It's called Wondermart by Rota Zaza. They direct you to a supermarket and then they direct you around the supermarket and you do it with someone else who is about 3 minutes behind you, I think it is. And there's some interaction that you have with this partner at certain moments. So you'll be at certain points at the exact same time and they'll be like, do you know, is someone picking up that? Because obviously they're being told to pick up that. And it was amazingly powerful, but very, very simple. And the Linked Walk by Graham Miller, I think it's really, really powerful. And I love the fact you can kind of dip in and out of it and start at any point.
The audio walk that you've done is, you know, linked to your master's. Down the line, do you think you're going to use walking as a... I mean, is this something that's really got you excited?
It has, actually. I mean, to be honest with you, when I first went there, I never, ever would have thought it'd been the route that I would have gone down. It kind of almost came about through what I was researching. But now I couldn't imagine not doing walking as kind of my practice. And I'm actually looking to maybe apply for some commissions. And, well, there's one commission that I'm looking to apply for. I'm trying to make walking fit into the brief. I'm like, it will fit in.
Yeah, or do you think it just adds a bit of freestyle to something which seems so mundane? You know, somewhere else you go for a walk, just go from A to B and think, oh, what's in that? And then you get this sort of added, you know, entertainment, I suppose. Almost.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And I think another thing that was really interesting was like engaging like the senses. So obviously it was like a lot about hearing and I suppose looking. I tried to pose some questions within the walk about trying to kind of engage the body in their relationship to what they were actually moving on and through.
I mean, the other thing, of course, is that you're actually denying someone using their hearing. They're just hearing what you've got. And therefore, in a sense, you're actually depleting their experience of the space.
It's true. In some ways, I suppose it does. And one of my participants actually said that they made a point of tuning out of what was being said, because I suppose you do have that capacity in some ways, and they wanted to listen to the street. But what I quite like is the, when I was doing them, because obviously I'd test them as well, is kind of the interjection of moments from the street that you just can't get away from. So like you'd be hearing this narrative and then say an ambulance would go past and they're so loud that you'd kind of be like brought back to, I suppose, reality, really. And it's kind of those moments of being aware. And I did put quite a few silences in the walks on purpose. And in the moment of documentation, I say to participants before they can go on the walk that they can remove their headphones completely and then just be aware. Maybe it was like for them to then be more aware, essentially aware when they do their documentation, maybe.
You've been listening to Talking Walking, brought to you by Rethinking Cities in London. In this episode, you've heard from Laura Jennings. If you have any views on this interview or any walking issues, we would love to hear from you. Just follow the links on the talkingwalking.net website. We look forward to having you along for future episodes of Talking Walking. Written, recorded and produced by Andrew Stuck of Rethinking Cities, our graphic artwork was designed by Ian Martin of Aardvark Graphics, and the music was composed and recorded by Simon Sanders at Easytronic.